back here for the final segment of Let's Get Local today. Jason Hafen, your host on Let's Get Local, the Dame by Local radio show on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. A big shout out again to our sponsors, Madison Water Utility and also Supac of Evolution Financial. And really fun talking with Chef Dave Heide about his restaurants and his mission and passions and perspective on Madison. But we're going to get into some other things as we talked about. He mentioned it right away how Liliana's, his first restaurant, is no longer named after his child, who is just came out to goes by Ollie. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the issues currently going on around our country. More with Chef Dave Heide right now.
Dave, one thing we talked about a little bit, you mentioned early on, was Ollie and how, you know, we know right now, we talked last week with people from Fair Wisconsin about some of these bills that are currently in our state about trans youth and restricting trans youth from participating in sports, things like that. There's other anti-trans bills going around across our country. You know, how are you feeling seeing that stuff happening right now?
Oh, man. You know, Mr. Rogers always had this thing that was look for the helpers and you'll always see them. And you'll see that as a meme floating around the internet. And it's what something his mom told him a long time ago. And I think the counterpoint to that is ignore the haters. I think there's always going to be someone out there who hates on something you do. And in fact, my dad has always told me, if at the end of your life, nobody hates you, you didn't do enough with your life, right? Like, you're going to have people who don't agree with you. You're going to have people who don't see eye to eye. But I think the thing I always try to tell myself is that most of that hatred, not all, but 99% of that hatred comes from ignorance. And it comes from people not having discussions. It's by putting up more and more walls instead of pulling them down. You look at how many congressmen are anti-gay, and then their daughter or their son comes out and they're like, well, wait, hold on now. I mean, not all gays are bad. I mean, look, my kid's good. I raised them. They're good people. And then they start to kind of have those conversations and they start to see it's normal and it's just a part of life and it's who people are. And they start to see who the person is and not just the label that that person has. So for me, I never get offended or worried by stuff like that. I worry about my kid. Obviously, I worry about all my kids. Who knows where they'll be in 10 years. But the thing I know is that when Ollie came out, there was an article in Our Lives magazine, and there was a news article on Channel 3. And oh my God, there were some horrible troll people out there who were bad. But for every one horrible person, there were 20 people who reached back out to either me or to Ollie and said like, hey, like, I am a trans kiddo in the MMSD and seeing your story made me feel like I'm not alone anymore. You know, There was a mom reaching out and saying like, after I wrote the article in Our Lives magazine, who said like, man, every single one of those things that you talked about, that was something that went through my head. Like I felt those feelings and seeing you talk about it. It's not that I didn't know the answer, but hearing another parent who was going through the same thing as me made it just feel like a normal conversation and not something that was taboo that I couldn't talk about with my friends who I was worried about judgment. And I think that's really what I try to push for. You're never going to change everyone's opinion. You don't need to get everyone to see your side, but I think it's about making sure that our kids, our friends, our peers have a pool of people that they know are safe and are secure that they can come to with anything. You know, in the article, the thing I mentioned, which is so true, is like there are all these questions that people have when they're trying to deal with it, especially parents, when they find out that their kid is, you know, either non-binary or trans or whatever kind of on the spectrum they may be. And my answer to all of it is like, at the end of the day, do you give a crap about anyone else more than you do your own kid? And if you do, well, I don't really care about you as a person because you're kind of a shitty human being. Like your kids are your people. They're your blood. They're the people who you brought onto this world. And you're the people, if you believe that they aren't born that way, then it's your responsibility that they are who they are in the first place. So if you aren't willing to like work with them and be there for them and love them unconditionally, then you don't deserve to be their parent.
I think it's such an important step. The more communication, stepping out, again, bringing attention to, you know, just putting that information out there so people see it and understand it. And like you said, ignorance, but also just a lot of times people need some sort of interaction or to see somebody they know. It has to be on a personal level for them to sometimes get it. So kudos to you for stepping out right away and doing that. And Ollie too, you know, for being brave. I did want to
one last little thing on that.
Yeah.
I think that it goes so much further than just orientation or gender or sex or sexual orientation or any of those things. It also extends to things like race and equality and equity that when you are, I know I brought up how much I love Madison. The only thing I don't like about Madison is that we're so worried about offending or about, you know, making sure that we're not saying something that someone will judge or whatnot. We tend to only talk about things with people we know we're going to get the answer we want to hear from. For an example, white people talk to their white friends about rights issues, about race issues, and they don't talk to people of the opposite race about race. They only talk to people that they know they won't get. And what happens is, and this isn't just whites or blacks or anything, this is across all the races and all of the different, like even in LGBTQ communities, it's everyone talking just amongst themselves and we're not all just getting together and having conversations. Like I know, so when I first was introduced to like non-binary, I said things that make current me feel like a shitty human being, but it wasn't from one of like not understanding or not love. It was just not understanding. Like I was like, what do you mean non-binary? Like what's in your pants? Like I said crap like that, that today, like it makes me like feel nauseous that I would ever say something like that. But it wasn't one of like hatred. It was one of just like not understanding. Like I just didn't understand any of it. I hadn't had conversations about it. And I think that's one of the biggest things that everybody in Madison needs to work on is like finding someone that you know. And instead of just like talking about them behind their back, starting a conversation, being like, hey, I'm totally ignorant in anything having to do with trans. Can I talk to you openly about like what I'm thinking? And if not, that's okay. But I'd love to just have a conversation. Or if there's someone who's African-American and you're white, like just being like, hey, like I know all of your white friends go to you because you're accessible to me. Cause you know, like, but can I just talk to you? Like I'm having these conflicting things and I want to have a discussion about it. And I know it may not go anywhere, but I just want to talk. So anyway, that's one of the things that I think would change a lot in this city and in this world is if people just started talking to each other again, instead of assuming and judging people.
Yeah, communication is such a big thing. And your interests go far beyond your restaurants, but we do have to get back to them here to talk a little bit about Little John's, because I know it's been such an undertaking to get that up and moving forward. Where are things currently and how can people help?
Yeah, so Little John's has been crazy. We just signed about 6 months ago a lease, and we're going to be purchasing a 25,000 square foot space to basically end food insecurity in Dane County. Not just doing it on our own, but working with a bunch of other nonprofits to take grocery store excess. So just since October, and we've been doing all of our meal production out of Liliana's right now because I have no dining room. So we're like, why not turn Little John's into the dining room? But just since October, we've managed to put out over 40,000 meals to people in need. And at the same time, we've rescued over 30 tons of food from being thrown out. And when people think of grocery excess, I think a lot of them think of garbage, right? When you hear excess or waste, you tend to think of the stuff you throw out. But try to remember, we're working with grocery store excess. Americans throw away 40% of all food produced in the United States pre-consumer. And it's that pre-consumer waste that we're trying to salvage and rescue. So that's like beautiful produce, beautiful protein. Metcalfe's is amazing. That's the only, we're taking our product from just one Metcalfe's right now. And I don't know if you know this, but Metcalfe's grinds their ground beef every single day at Metcalfe's, and they only allow it to be on the shelves for 24 hours and then it's gone because they don't gas their meat and they don't add bleach and they don't add any of the other nasty stuff that a lot of other grocery stores or retailers do. So they were throwing away hundreds of pounds of beef because they were worried that if they tried to put it out there, that the same reason they didn't want to sell it, someone would be cooking with it that maybe didn't know what they were doing. So we're rescuing all that protein. We're putting it into meals, and it's beautiful, local, just amazing beef. Tell me if you've ever eaten beef that's 24 hours old ever. Like you haven't, right?
No.
So like, that's the beauty of it, right? We're not cooking with garbage. We're cooking with better product than I can even get at my fine dining restaurant. So right now, the biggest ask I have for everyone is just like, we've got about a $6 million raise, which I know sounds like a huge amount of money, but think about what it's going to do for the face of Madison to know that no one who ever wants food again will ever go without. And even though $6 million may seem like a lot, Dane County has 600,000 people in it. If everyone just helps us out with 10 bucks right now, we can get built. And the best part is, once Little John's is built, we never have to go back again. So I just, if anyone's interested in helping out, you can go to littlejohnskitchens.org. And it's KITCHENS.org. And you can find out all the information about volunteering, donating, anything you want to do to help make our vision reality.
Wow. I mean, what an inspirational guy, inspirational people he works with, inspirational family. Happy anniversary, by the way, Chef Dave, today. But Little John's Kitchens, look it up. I mean, just incredible, incredible stuff that Chef Dave and so many others, you know, Metcalf's and others are pooling together to try, man, to make such an impact in our community. And again, they have big visions to go beyond. There's so much that is to be done, but we got to start right here. We got to start local, everybody. And then we can branch out. And that's what Chef Dave is doing. Check it out at Little John's. Man, I'm going to check it out. Be safe. Have a great weekend.